Welcome to another powerful episode of Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Villain. And today we're diving into a topic that cuts deep, both in its gravity and its impact on countless lives. We're not pulling any punches today as we're tackling the disappearance of Indigenous women and the shocking lack of support they receive from our government. Our special guest today is Kay Nicola, an advocate and a voice for Indigenous women everywhere. Together, we'll explore the heartbreaking reality of these disappearances, why they're happening, and what's being done, or not done, to bring these women back home. Now, while we aim to shed light on these issues, it's crucial that we also provide real resources for those affected. If you know someone you know needs help, here are some vital lifelines. The National Human Trafficking Hotline is available 24/7 at 1-888-373-7888. And the Strong Hearts Native Helpline offers culturally appropriate support at 1-844-762-8483. This episode is about more than just awareness. It's about action. So let's get started, because these women deserve nothing less. Welcome again to the Let Me Take You Higher podcast, where we are discovering and talking about the random trafficking of Indigenous Native women. Welcome to the Let Me Take You Higher podcast, where we do a deep dive into the stories and issues that matter most. I'm Mr. Villain, and today we're shedding light on a topic that is heartbreaking as it is urgent: the trafficking of Indigenous Native women in America. This is just a statistic. It's a human tragedy that often goes unnoticed, but today we're bringing it front and center. Joining me are two remarkable guests, Kay Nicola and myself, both Indigenous women from separate tribes, who are here to make and share their insights and experiences. What's the hot mic, you might ask? Trafficking of Indigenous women in America. It's an underreported crisis that continues to devastate communities across the nation. Why is this happening? Well, how can we stop it? Indeed. And more importantly, how can we protect the ones we love from falling victim to this heinous crime? Now, we have in our studio today Kay Nicola, who is from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, a member of the Sioux tribe. And I'm going to ask her a couple of questions because she would know more than anyone else. Kay, are you there?
Hey, I'm here.
Awesome. You happen to be a Native American of a very respected Indigenous tribe in South Dakota.
Respect.
Right. What is your take on the indigenous situation for women in your area?
So it all the way goes back from the beginning of time, really. It's just starting to get the recognition it's always has deserved. From the beginning of time, women had been going missing from slavery to now. There could be one white woman who goes missing and she could be plastered all over the news and everything.
Right.
And I just don't feel like as much light, that there should be more light shed on Native Americans.
Well, okay, I get yeah. that part. And of course, indigenous women, indigenous tribes, indigenous people have been put in the back burner for many, many, many centuries. So what is the situation with indigenous women going up missing in your area? What have you noticed?
I've noticed it's usually women who are, you know, in poverty or are in vulnerable states or abusive relationships. I feel like those women are very easily targeted.
Okay.
Someone who even just so easily walking down the street.
Right. Like, yeah. Because I've heard situations where there's this big white van and it's kind of mysterious and scary. Yeah. And the van just stops and they see like an indigenous woman walking on the side of the road, and they just grab this woman and put her in the van. Is that accurate, or are we over embellishing the truth about what's happening to indigenous women in South Dakota and other lands across the nation?
I feel like that is accurate somewhat, but it also could be guys and just regular cars or people you don't even expect it.
Right.
People that you wouldn't even think.
Yeah.
And
so what I mean, are you saying that, like, say for instance, you go to a bar and you're drinking and you're hanging out with friends and whatever, are you saying, or do you think that people that are random in that area are like putting stuff in the drinks?
Yes, it's actually has happened at Hello High in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. There has been some situations that has happened, and it's very easily Native American, Hispanic women pretty much most of the time.
Right. So you are saying that random people in Sioux Falls, and this is, and we're only saying Sioux Falls because this is where Kay Nicola is from, and this is where her tribe is located. But we're saying Sioux Falls because is there a higher percentage of people taking advantage of indigenous women in Sioux Falls?
Across this whole state of South Dakota and just the surrounding states in general. For example, Rapid City.
Okay.
A lot of tourists and people go there.
Right.
And those people are very, very easily targeted the most.
Okay.
There's actually a Native American male of a friend of a friend of a friend on my Facebook who is a male who went to travel to Rapid City.
Okay.
I believe her name is Marissa, her man. He has been missing for like 3 weeks or something like that. He's a Native American man who went to go visit Rapid City.
So
there's been many cases, and it's starting to be even men now, not just women, indigenous.
Okay. So you're saying, do you believe that there's a plot on the indigenous Native Americans, not just women, but just men and women?
Yes. From the beginning of time, I believe that that's where I get into like a conspiracy almost.
Okay.
I feel like from the moment of the beginning of time that they're trying to kill off the indigenous race, because this is a Native American land.
This is your land.
And those are the people that are getting targeted.
Right. I remember
to this day.
Yeah. And I remember when I was growing up as a kid, we used to sing a little hymn back in the elementary school days. And I want to date myself, but it used to go like this. This is your land. This is my land from South Dakota, whatever. But I mean, I don't want to get into the rabbit hole of that. But what I'm trying to figure out is I see the posters where they have the red handprint over the mouth of indigenous women.
No More Stolen Sisters is the movement.
Okay. What's it called again for people who might not know?
It's the No More Stolen Sisters movement.
Okay.
For younger women and children in Yes as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, like, the conspiracy and even some proven cases, they're human trafficked.
Right.
Or even killed and their organs are stolen.
So you're saying there's some black market action happening with the organs then?
Yes, it's very much deeper than that. And it's been going on, like I said, from the beginning of time. They have been used.
So now, with this being said, now there are it's a big conspiracy amongst black bodies swinging in the breeze. You got the black men, the black women. They get killed, are alive, I will say, by, and I hate to say it, but people who are there to protect us, the police. And I'm not just saying it's the police. There's a lot of things that are going on with this. But what I'm trying to get to is, most of these men and women in these rural counties and places around the nation have been found with no organs. Are you saying that indigenous women are being kidnapped and found with no organs in their bodies?
Not every person.
Okay.
No organs. Or all right. Whatever, but, you know, sex trafficking. Human trafficking. That's another thing that ties into it. A lot of the women get sold, raped, killed, murdered, or, you know, their organs or whatever it is that they're doing behind closed doors. Because how is it there's thousands?
Oh, there's thousands
of just disappeared.
Yes.
Oh, but Gabby Petito, the white girl, all of a sudden they could just track her and find her.
They found her within what, a week?
If they could just find this white girl like that,
right?
And she got all that recognition. What about all these other indigenous women?
There is a ton of indigenous women that are missing, and their families cry out every day looking for their children. Yeah. So let's go into the origins and the statistics. The roots of this crisis are entangled in a history of colonization, systematic racism, and ongoing neglect of indigenous rights. According to the Urban Indian Health Institute, Native women are disproportionately targeted for trafficking and violence, with murder rates up to 10 times higher than the national average in some areas. In 2020 alone, over 5,712 cases of missing indigenous women were reported, but only 116 were logged in the Department of Justice database. These numbers reflect a chilling reality. Indigenous women are more likely to go missing and less likely to be found. And that's from our government. So I guess my question to you is, as being an indigenous Native American, what is going on?
I feel like a lot with the, like, press and such, it gets covered up.
Oh, yeah.
It gets covered up. And I do have a little bone to pick to Kristi Noem.
Okay. Now, because for our audience, before we go any further, now, Kristi Noem, from what I know, is a governor of South Dakota. She is a Republican. And there's nothing wrong with Republicans. All are welcome. But it seems to be prevalent against Republican national interest that they don't look into these crimes. And let me tell you, on a later date, we're going to do the same kind of episode, but on little black women and little black girls who go missing all the time. But let me know your gripe with Kristi Noem.
I had went to this Kristi Noem protest, like, against her.
Right.
There was people of all colors, a lot of white people. And you know the people that got arrested when he was tear gassed? Only Native Americans.
So are you saying that Kristi Noem had people tear gas you guys? No, I'm just saying Native Americans. Are you saying that she had you guys tear gassed?
The police department of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, yes.
It
was a protest against her. And it wasn't even getting violent or anything.
Okay.
And they let us have it, but they kept blocking us off on purpose.
Right.
At least to where they had to make us go on the main road. So then they had to tear gas us.
Oh, yeah. They had the wounded knee.
Trick.
Yes.
So And then they go on the news and they make it sound like another thing.
Right.
Like there was this like wild, out of control
situation.
It wasn't even like that. And this was already a couple of years ago, but right. still it's still relevant to today because she's still the governor.
She's still the governor.
But she has ignored the votes to make weed legal.
Right. So marijuana is a big thing.
Yeah, that as well.
In South Dakota. And
she ignores her people a lot about a lot of things.
Right.
Just about the indigenous women. She does what she feels is necessary to benefit herself and not for the people of South Dakota. Indigenous people.
Of South Dakota.
Yes.
So basically, I guess what we're gathering from this is Kristi Noem is a hater. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sure she's not a hater.
Oh, she's a little.
Is she a little hater?
My homie Nightshield of all.
Uh-oh. Shout out to Nightshield. If you're out there listening, Nightshield, we got your back. Let me just ask you, though, because I'm not from South Dakota. I don't know Kristi Noem like that. I know she kills puppies. But aside from killing the puppies, is she helping to kill Native Americans? And she's not putting a helpful, watchful eye on the Native American population, especially when it comes to women. Clearly, something's not right.
She's not putting awareness on it. She has brushed it off. She
right.
doesn't talk about it. She knows it's there. People bug her all the time.
Yeah.
And you know, she knows.
You told me, I think you told, right, and you told me.
Exactly what's going on.
You said that you were talking to Kristi Noem on one of the social media platforms. You want to go into that story?
Talk to her like face to face,
okay.
Almost about a couple years ago, shortly after the protest.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of people are just angry about things.
Yeah.
But I was just kind of maybe
harassed. Well, I mean, you were
look, that horseback.
It is your First Amendment right.
But I only was angry and mad and saying the stuff I was saying
because right.
it's like you're ignoring the people and you're just out here. She's putting on this front, and
so you're wait. So let me just ask you: are you saying that you don't believe Kristi Noem cares about indigenous Native American people in America?
She cares about her and like her quotation people, like
okay,
like the people she wants to care about. Because if she cared about all the people of South Dakota, why has she not made an effort?
Yeah.
To shed light across the world.
She's yeah.
a very famous governor, right?
She now. Is. She has a platform, yes. guys. I mean, she does.
Shed light enough on this. This is the biggest situation, actually, of
yeah.
people missing, thousands of people.
Thousands of women are missing, indigenous
that
women.
That should be, like, the main thing. One of the main things she is
I mean, about. You would think that it would be on the top 10 things she had to do. I mean, I don't know what she's doing.
This is just talking about all this other, blah, 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 blah. I'm like.
No. I think she's busy writing books about killing puppies, but I don't want to get into it. I don't want to do that. That's not my thing. Okay. But notable figures in advocacy, several activists and organizations have been fighting tirelessly to bring attention to this issue. Deb Howland, the first Native American woman to serve as a U.S. Secretary of the Interior, has been a vocal advocate for missing and murdered indigenous women, the MMIW. I think you should look them up and join if you can. Her efforts, along with those of grassroots organizations like the National Indigenous Women's Research Resource Center, are crucial in pushing for policy and policy changes and raising awareness about Indigenous women. I just want to know, you are an Indigenous woman, so I'm going to ask you, do you think the government's doing enough?
Hell to the motherfucking no.
Absolutely. That's, guys, you heard it.
And it goes deeper.
It does.
It is not just indigenous women. It is black women.
It is black women.
And of color. And
yes.
that is why I'm like, Kamala.
Kamala. Come on, Kamala. Look, just so we know, I just want to set the record straight. Look, we don't do real political podcasts on this.
Women, right?
There is a war on women. I believe it. But you know, I'm guessing you're going to vote for Kamala. I won't release who I'm voting for until the day of, but at this point, I believe, Nicole is right. She's saying that her people need help. And as Americans, everyone's an American. We don't get to pick and choose. That's the beauty of America. So if one person has a crisis and needs help, we all have a crisis and we all need the help. So with that being said, Our counterpunch today, guys, are pros and cons of the current efforts. In this segment, let's break down the pros and the cons of the current efforts to combat trafficking and play the devil's advocate. So the pro on this, the increased visibility of the MMIW movement has led to a greater public awareness, more resources, and legislative action aimed at addressing the crisis. It has also empowered communities to take action and support each other in the fight against trafficking. Now, this is human trafficking, guys. It's not just the indigenous women that are being trafficked, but they are screaming for help and we're not listening. The con on this, despite these efforts, there are significant challenges. Law enforcement's slow response, jurisdictional issues, and the lack of coordination between federal, state, and tribal authorities often hinder investigations. Additionally, some argue that the focus on trafficking diverts attention from the broader issues of poverty, addiction, and domestic violence that also plague indigenous communities. What do you think about that? Now, in your communities, what's going on? Let's dive deeper into what's going on in your community.
From personal experience, I just know there's like a war on Native American people, silent war still to this day. Like,
okay,
when I had been in jail,
right,
not perfect, mostly Native American men,
yeah,
and women. When I was in Avera Behavioral Health, mostly Native American women,
right?
It's just.
Well, I will tell you, look,
and like I'm not saying like, you know, like statistically and just stereotype, like,
yeah,
oh, they're alcoholics or this or that, and it's like, right, no, because honestly, everybody be turning up.
Everybody be turning up.
Turn it up, but it's just they're targeted.
No,
they're
you targeted, guys are targeted,
and they're how is it? How is it the land of the Native American people,
right,
they are suffering the most out of any race
I would say
in
so
America?
Nowadays, yes.
Even more, like, you know, Black people and Hispanics are still,
yes,
suffering, but even more.
I believe it. And you guys are a rare nation. I mean, there's not many indigenous Native Americans. Yes.
So this day from the beginning, and they're trying, the government, I strongly believe, is trying to kill off the indigenous people.
Okay, so what do they get out of that though? What's the plus for the government to systematically destroy and eradicate Native Americans?
To make them feel better about themselves, like, well, they're not here, it's ours now.
Okay.
You know, like,
I mean, because you guys have treaties still on the boards that you were supposed to get. Oh yeah, we won't go into that. It's a whole other episode. So do you believe the government is targeting indigenous people because they don't want to pay out on treaties? Or is it just a black market scheme for the organs?
It's a combination. And I feel like with the organ,
yeah,
stealing thing is even much deeper. Like I said, it's just people of color as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, with the whole like drug trafficking. With,
right. The, you mean you're talking about the 80s crack indulgence, no, by the CIA?
No, like the cartel stuff going on. People get,
yeah,
kidnapped and their organs are out of there.
Well, I know. I mean, guys, this is
I have this theory, theory.
Right.
That, you know, y'all know Jeffrey Epstein.
I do. I don't know. Wait. Before, I don't know him. I do not know that guy.
He got or had, which someone did buy over. I wouldn't know that.
Well, I mean,
got some.
He got a happy ending, but not the one he wanted.
On there.
You're right. We won't go into that.
I believe he and whoever he's working with, yeah, is behind this organ sex trafficking thing. Because you realize how he just got killed and so many people are shut up. I feel it would be,
yeah, all of a sudden,
it's a deep thing and all these things are connected. I feel like all,
okay,
of it is connected. Like, I can't explain it.
Look,
but like everything, it's crazy,
yeah,
to think, but I think, not that I'm saying like, oh, Diddy or Jeffrey Epstein did it, but it's just the people that they work with.
Trust me, their friendships and their friends go back many, 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 many handshakes. Yeah, where are the bodies?
Like he was like the biggest guy in that shit, Jeffrey Epstein.
Mm-hmm.
And he got killed or killed himself.
Now, we will say that I'll
help a lot of other people.
We might as well just tell everyone
they target Jeffrey Epstein, all, mm-hmm, those people he worked with, they targeted vulnerable or indigenous women or...
I would just say release the black book, because in that black book, you're going to find everybody. It's not going to be Bill... It's not just going to be Bill Clinton, the princess of... Prince Andrew and Donald Trump. I don't want to say it too loud because he's running for president.
Hiding out in England over there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this guy had reaches everywhere. We're not going to get into conspiracy theories today, but... We know where,
topic specifically.
Yeah, when you go down the rabbit hole, you're going to find out a whole bunch of rabbits.
That's what I was trying to stop or prevent, because, you know, the whole missing indigenous swimming, it goes down the rabbit hole.
There's a lot going on in America that we don't talk about.
It's so much deeper.
It's a lot deeper.
It is very crazy. And not everybody, not even me, has the answers. Like,
I mean, I think the answers are elusive.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Somewhere. Like, people opening their eyes and, like, with TikTok and the way everyone's connected now, like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're like, I don't like that. That's why they're trying to ban.
And by the way, guys, we are currently on TikTok at Let Me Take You Higher at TikTok. I mean, it's pretty simple. But with that being said, I think that we should go into a deep dive on how we can prevent this. Prevention requires a multifaceted approach. Education and awareness are crucial, but so is systemic change. Strengthening the sovereignty of tribal nations, improving data collection, and ensuring better coordination between law enforcement agencies are all essential steps. We also need to support survivors with resources for recovery and reintegration into their communities. On a broader scale, combating the underlying issues, poverty, lack of education, and access to health care can reduce the vulnerability of indigenous women to trafficking. It's also building their future where indigenous women can thrive without fear of disappearing. So, guys, this is such a great topic, and it's a horrible topic at the same time, but it's a topic we need to talk about because there's so much going on that we just don't recognize and we don't see. So let me ask you, Kay, what do you think can change the tide?
Well,
yeah,
I have strong hopes if Kamala is president. You know?
And we're not taking any political stances.
Anyways.
Right.
I do feel like if just, I'm not trying to make it political, but they are the ones.
Politics plays a key.
Yeah.
It does. Mm-hmm.
But it also raises a red flag that those are the ones that are, like, ignoring the situation.
Right.
With us people, Americans, we know.
Oh, we know.
What's going on.
Yeah. And we take it on.
Talking about it.
Yeah.
Talking about it. There's nothing wrong with just talking about it and spreading awareness. And that's all I feel like that can be done, you know.
That's all you can do.
Sometimes there is only so much you can do. You
right.
Know? Like, I get very frustrated on this topic.
Yeah, it's a lot going on. America's ripe with this kind of topic. I mean, if we think about it, guys, so we have an election, and we're just going to glance over it, but we have an election November the 5th. Make sure you are registered to vote and you early vote in huge numbers for whatever candidate you choose, because that candidate will guide us into the future. And if you are lucky enough to, if you have read Project 2025, it tells you what the Republicans are up to. And you can go to KamalaHarris.com to figure out what the Democrats are up to. And that's just, you know, that's kind of just where we're at with that. But let me just tell you, the higher point today on today's segment is that trafficking of Indigenous Native women is a stark reminder of the ongoing challenges faced by Indigenous communities in America. The higher point here is that while the issue is complex and deeply rooted in historical injustices, it's not insurmountable. By working together and raising awareness and pushing for systemic change, we can create a safer, more just world for all Indigenous women and Indigenous men in kind. Kay Nicola, what are your thoughts, and how can we turn awareness into action? What can we do to get out there and speak louder than our words on this topic?
I feel as if there should be more protest.
Okay.
I don't know what it is about just connecting with people.
You have to connect with people. It's important.
It is just, it's so beautiful. And
mm-hmm.
just more
it's key.
Events, more things.
Yeah.
just I just feel like there's people who have platforms and know
yes.
Fijian. There's a few Indigenous people that are have a platform and they don't use it. They don't use it, and it's like, you know, as an Indigenous woman,
right?
And I love my Indigenous people to the fullest,
right?
You know, I feel like as an Indigenous woman, I feel as if you are obligated to talk about this, because, for example, I feel like just up until past 2020, Native Americans are slowly starting.
Yeah.
Wow. They can act. They can,
right. See, yeah. They're more to them.
Seen since like reservation dogs. Like that's the first.
Right.
They don't get.
Look, I'll tell you this.
They can do so much just more than that. Like they don't get their recognition for so much.
Right. And I'll tell you this, just a little bit about myself. I'm Creole, which is a big percentage of Native American. I'm not sure what the percentage is, but it's there. But I've only noticed Reservation Dogs is a show.
You're like a ward or whatever.
Right. And it's on Hulu.
Yes.
So give your support there. We're in the only Native American band that I'm aware of, and sorry for my ignorance, because this is the only one I'm aware of is Redbone, and that's a great band. And then you have the Crying Indian from the 70s. So that's the wrap up of Native America. And I think there should be more. So, but with that being said, our closing remarks today, guys, is thank you for joining us today on Let Me Take You Higher. Thanks to my guest, Kay Nicola, a Sioux Native American from South Dakota. And remember, the fight to protect Indigenous women is ongoing, and it starts with each of us. If you don't have allies in today's society, you don't have anything. So let's keep up the conversation going and work towards real change for Native American women and all minorities that are suffering in the walls of America. Thank you again. And we do really appreciate you guys. You can always hit us up at letmetakeyouhigherpodcast@gmail.com. If you have any questions, have an idea for a show, or you just want to be on the show. Thank you so much. Have a great day, and God bless you.
Love you guys.
Bye. And that's a wrap on this episode of Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast. Big thanks to our special guests, and a huge shout out to our incredible sponsors. You guys are literally the wind beneath our podcast wings. Remember, this show was dreamed up and brought to life by yours truly, Mr. Villain. And it's all made possible by BC Entertainment LLC, a proud subsidiary of Big Cheddar Music LLC. All rights are reserved by BC Entertainment, so don't even think about touching that dial without permission. Until next time, keep your minds elevated and your vibes higher. This is Mr. Villain signing off. Stay tuned, stay sharp, and stay forever gifted and lifted.
Unfold.